Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible, 1 minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Johnny Paramount.
I thought it was Tommy Paramount. Are you his brother?
Yeah. Oh, I killed Tommy. I'm so confused.
Yeah, you're very confused.
And I'm Thomas.
I'm Thomas Paramount. I no longer go by Tommy. I'm a man now.
No, the only real Thomas here is Thomas Howarth. Thomas, welcome back.
You almost said it, Thomas Howarth, aren't they?
Thomas Howarth, you doing?
I'm doing pretty fantastic.
Well, welcome back, Thomas. You've made it to Thursday. We're on minute 79. We're going to leave the safe house for a couple of minutes. This minute begins with Claire calling Ethan over and ends with Ethan on the second payphone of the movie. Buckle your seatbelts, everybody. We got two payphones here.
Spies have it so much harder nowadays now that there aren't payphones anymore.
Harder or easier?
I think it's harder. I think because now they have to spend money on burner phones and stuff like that. Before, they could just go to a random payphone that was generic and public and kind of have that kind of anonymity to it.
It does have anonymity, but earlier on when their first mission went sideways, he had to run to a phone booth to call Kittredge. That's not super convenient.
Well, the life of a spy is not meant to be convenient.
Yeah, this is not going to be convenient either. He's got to run out. It's raining. It's gross. Claire must have turned on the TV when she said she was going to go to sleep. Because
she's one of those people.
She calls Ethan over to see what's on the news. I love how in movies the news always plays the exact story pertaining to you or your family, your friends, right when you walk in.
Right, because they must have mentioned it just before then.
Now, don't you think that Claire was, this whole thing is a setup at this point, where Claire was well aware that it was going to be on the news at that moment, and that's why she called Ethan in?
No, I don't think she has anything to do with what Kittredge is doing.
Yeah, Kittredge is doing his own thing. He's kind of, he's out of that circle of interest.
No, but I mean, don't you think that somebody might have some knowledge as to what's going on?
There may be you think maybe there's another mole?
Yeah.
So they know what's going on in the Mission Impossible Force?
Yeah.
Offices? That definitely could be happening.
Yeah.
Now don't zip along too quick, because you guys are going to miss one of the key moments in the Luther-Ethan
love fest.
Blossoming, yes. And that's where one character teaches another character something. And we can see here that Ethan has taught Luther about sleight of hand.
He has not taught Luther about sleight of hand.
Oh, he taught
Luther him. Takes it from one hand and throws it into his other one.
I didn't say he was going to be good at it. I just said that he taught him about it. It exists.
Well, Luther's giant meat hands are going to have a problem.
He's got some practicing to do, but they can do that together and they'll grow together.
Yes, they can.
A partnership.
Hey, I wish that scene ended with, hey, Ethan, after this job, could you, sit down and show me how that works?
It's like a 5-year-old when you show him the behind the ear coin trick.
They're like,
how did he do that?
Witchcraft.
Dark
demon. Magic.
It'd be great if it actually, if magic angered Luther, because he's so into science that when he does it in front of him, he actually just comes out from behind that desk and hits Ethan as hard as he can across the head.
No!
Like, what are you doing? No!
My life is science. Which would be funny, because Tom Cruise is a Scientologist.
I wish once when someone character calls you into a room to watch a TV that the news story had already happened and they just miss it.
Right.
And
you
then
just missed
they
this great
then they try to explain it, but then the character doesn't believe them, and then they just ignore them and goes back to what they were doing.
And then it shows 2 hours later with the 12 o'clock news.
It's like, okay, it's gonna be on again, I swear.
We're not gonna miss it this time.
Yeah, see, nowadays you can DVR it.
He's like, Claire, you've made me sit here for 2 hours. Yeah, I know, because that's when they does London do the news the same way? Do British people do the news the same way we do it? Do they have a 6 o'clock news?
That brings up an interesting point.
And a 10 o'clock.
Would
news?
This be international news?
Well, yeah, let's get into that point. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I was gonna say
they thinly veil it as it's an international drug trafficking ring. To explain what's going on, we haven't even explained it. Ethan sees the television, and right at the exact moment, a news story comes on, and it's his mother and his uncle, and they've been arrested for trafficking in drugs in an international drug trafficking ring,
you know,
out of Wisconsin.
You know, in 96, 97, that was kind of far-fetched, but now that we've been through, like, Breaking Bad and everything that's going on nowadays, it's not too far-fetched at all anymore.
No, I think you would definitely have something. And I love this drug. We got to talk about this drug. I've got some notes on it.
Well, before
the
we
drug,
get that
it's
far.
Called methcathinone. It's a real drug.
Yes.
Its nickname is Cat. It's also known as catnip. It's also known as poor man's coke. And it's known as my favorite, Jeff.
Jeff?
It's known as Jeff.
Nice.
I'm hooked on I'm hooked on the drug Jeff, guys.
It's a weird way to explain it, though. Yeah, Jeff.
I don't think BBC One. I know this isn't BBC One, but you know,
no,
this channel would be picking
Sky,
up news.
It's Sky. News.
Yeah.
I don't think Sky One would be picking up news from Wisconsin in 1996.
Right. That's troublesome to say the least.
Yeah. I don't think anybody. The whole point of local news is to impact local people. And the fact that they talk about this, like, oh, okay, come on. Okay, suspension of disbelief. Great, there's this thing. Ethan's obviously upset. He knows it's Kittredge. Kittredge pretty much told him he was going to do this back in the restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
Way back in like minute, what is that, 25, 26? Yeah. Kittredge pretty much dangled this in front of Ethan, is that we know your family is out of receivership. We know you've gotten all this money. So they're going to go after him. And they do. It's
and
for
did.
Kittredge. Actually, it's a great move.
Yeah.
Again with Kittredge. No, we don't like Kittredge because the actor playing him is playing him kind of smarmy and kind of a jerk. But again, as far as everyone knows, Kittredge is in the right.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, we've drifted past something that I think is really important to the story here.
Hmm.
As Ethan comes to the door, we see that this portion of the room is actually Mr. J. Evans, the manager's office.
Yes.
I didn't think we should miss that. I mean, it tells so much of the story right there.
It's very important. This place is so this place is so out of business that there's nobody here, but there is a working television. So at least it's still got power.
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense since Luther has his fluorescent light in the other room, but...
Well, the lights that are in here are pretty soft, and I know working on electronics, you want brighter light than these soft lights that are there, especially if you're going to be doing soldering. You need brighter lights.
And Thomas, I bet you could find the fuse box and put power back on in this entire thing, couldn't you?
Probably, but it wouldn't change the wattage of the bulbs.
No, but you could turn. You could turn. I assume when they got there, the power wasn't on.
Right.
Luther probably walked downstairs and flip some switches. That's what you do, right? You're a flip switcher? Switch flipper?
Switch flipper. I have been known to flip some switches in my life.
All right.
Yeah, so Mr. J. Evans, what do we think J stands for, guys?
Johann.
Johann, not a bad one.
Johann Evans.
I was thinking Julius.
It could also be Judith, guys. Women can be managers, too.
But can they be misters?
Yes.
It could be Jonathan.
It could be Jonathan. Mr. Johann Evans. Is there a middle initial?
No, it just says Mr. J. Evans. I had to say Julius, though, and that's a callback to Never Any Minute because in the very beginning we have Major Dad drinking some Orange Julius with eggs in it. That's Tierney's favorite.
That's what Orange Julius is. It's whipped eggs.
Exactly.
I'm from the South. We had those.
So I'm calling him Julius. Julius Evans.
Julius Evans. All right. You get to name him. I guess that's the sleeping room for Claire. That's Claire's room.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of naming things.
Okay.
Did everybody catch that Ethan's named after his mom?
Yeah.
Was her name Enid?
Ethan.
No, her name is Margaret Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
Oh. So they went the Superman route. Yep. Martha Clark Kent.
Yep.
Yeah, they.
And she's a farmer. So, yeah, obviously they're doing the Superman thing.
Yeah. He's now
Ethan
Superman.
Ethan Hunt is now Superman.
Yep.
And it's ironically, he's going to be working with Superman in the new movie.
Yep.
Maybe. What was hers? His mom's name wasn't Martha. That would have been awesome.
Why'd you say that name? Why'd you say that name?
Oh, goodness.
That'd be a great way to end this movie with Jim Phelps about to kill Ethan. He's like, I did it for my wife, Claire, and my mother, Martha. Well, first of all, you'd be like, wait, Jim, your mother's still alive. Congratulations. But why'd you say that name?
I have to admit that when I started looking up this drug, I got a little bit worried about what people are going to think of my search history.
Oh, yeah. Don't do this at work. I'm so sorry that Ethan and Luther no longer have any time to have their own mandate.
Right? Speaking of mandates. Oh.
Yeah, Claire has stolen him away again.
He's just going to have to flip that disc all by himself.
She is clock blocking them both.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Bringing it all back.
Just tying the whole week up. We're not even to Friday yet. So Ethan's ticked. At around second 36, he goes walking out into the rain.
Which is what you do when you're upset.
I didn't know if he was going to pout. Remember how you were saying how convenient it would be to have a phone booth, Thomas? This is not convenient.
And the funny thing is he had a cell phone.
Well, we don't know if it's a working cell phone.
They just modified it. They modified it so it didn't work as a cell phone.
It's modified. It's just the cell phone case at this point.
Yeah.
Right. Damn you, Luther. I could have made my call from there.
Yeah, this is the 90s. They didn't have international calling at that point.
So technically Luther is the reason that Ethan's wet.
Oh, God.
This is what happens when my notes get thin.
Claire's longingly looking at Ethan as he walks away.
Now, is it longingly looking or is it like stealthily looking?
I have a theory, and it'll come in next minute. There's a reason she's watching him, and I'll talk about it tomorrow.
I can't tell if this is still Piccadilly Station, because he walks past the L station to this station.
That's got to be the station.
He walks in and walks over to a payphone, really nice set of payphones under a white bridge, and he starts to make a call.
No, I was going to say, I think that whole phone station now is probably like a Starbucks or something.
Or a charging station.
Yeah, you're right.
I want to know where he got the shoes that didn't squeak after walking in the rain outside.
Yeah. Well, he probably thoroughly cleaned them.
You think so? He took some time once he got in there?
I love once he gets into the phone banks and there's like four poles with different phones on them. There's a sign over to the left that says phone card. God, remember how your life revolved around a phone card?
Yeah, I do.
Our younger listeners won't know what that is, but used to be if you wanted to call long distance and didn't have coins or didn't want to call and collect, you had a phone card that would actually, like a credit card for your phone that would charge you for any calls you made.
Yeah, we used it a lot overseas when I was in the Navy, and we'd go to these ports and try to call home. You had to buy a phone card to be able to call home.
Wait, you were in the Navy too? No, I knew that. I was. Actually, I already knew that. I knew that. I have seen your Facebook post. Your Facebook.
Yes, I was an electronics technician in the Navy. That's how I got my start.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so over in Europe and all around the Mediterranean, we had to buy phone cards all the time to be able to call home.
Yeah, I remember that being something we used to send to my a lot of my friends went into the service. They either went to West Point or they went in after, and some of the gifts we would send them were phone cards.
Right.
Just tons of phone cards. Because that was the only way, because when they were out and about, I mean, when you're deployed or whatever, that's the only way you had. And did you have to find time, Thomas? Did they give you time to call? And were they all pay phones? Or was it just kind of, if there was a pay phone, you'd use it if you happened to be stationed somewhere that had a phone?
There were two different instances. I went on two major cruises during my tour, and one of them was in 96. And in the 96 one, we didn't have real ship communications for everyday use. So we'd have to wait till we stopped at a port and went into port, and then you can go out in town and use the phones there. But then by the time my second cruise came around in 99, they had phone banks on the ship with the ability to dial off the ship even when you're out at sea, unless they had some kind of like no electronics use or something like that because we were being stealthy or whatever. So like I said, in the first one, we had to wait till we were out at a port. And then the second time we went over, we had phones on the ship when we were allowed to use them.
Cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know they had actual phones that worked. I guess they were satellite phones at that point, right?
No, it was just part of the communication suite on the ship, and they were basically payphones.
Right, but the signal had to go out through a satellite.
Probably was satellite, it? Yes.
You weren't dragging a line behind you.
No, but we don't just use satellite. We have high-frequency communication.
That cell tower.
It could be radio or whatever, yeah.
Right.
For me, for the layman, anything for me is satellite. Like, if it's got a giant...
Mostly satellite stuff,
you know, you know what I'm talking about? Some sort of antenna.
Yes.
A satellite's just a powerful antenna that goes to the space and it bounces back.
There you go.
See, I know stuff. Yeah, that's where this minute ends with them in the banks.
None of that going on here.
Nope. No high tech here. It's just all phone lines. Transcontinental phone lines. We don't know who he's calling, so maybe we'll find out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
This minute does have, at least now we're out of the safe house, so there's a lot more tech we can talk about. See what the Eagle Eye Thomas has for this episode.
Now, there's a possible piece of tech that I'm not sure about. I don't get a great view of it. I can't tell. Nah, that can't be. I thought it was a microphone behind her when she shuts the door, but I think it's brochure folded up or something, maybe.
When she shuts closes the curtains?
The J. Evans door.
When she closes the door, you think there's a microphone behind her.
It looks kind of like a microphone, but I think it's actually just a rolled up piece of paper that's shaped slightly like a microphone.
Oh, wait. I see what you're talking about. Yeah. It's an illusion. It looks like a cone going up. Yep.
Right.
That's definitely a reflection. But God, that would have been, hey, Thomas, if that was really a microphone, that'd be. That'd be a great tech of the app.
Tech of the app, I might have to call the buttons on this TV.
I would just call the whole TV.
Awesome. The switches on that TV are knobby. Oh, what are they? There's like, what's above it? It looks like a microwave. There's, there's I can see there's volume up and down. I got those. There's channel up and down. There's a red switch, which is obviously for power. There might be some sort of switching. And then above it is more buttons.
Who knows?
Don't know. Oh, man.
Maybe that's for navigating the special stations.
Is that for tracking?
Possibly, yeah.
Oh, tracking. So,
no, well, tracking would be on a VCR, not on the TV.
Don't put holes in my theories, Chris. We're brainstorming here. There are no horizontal bad ideas and vertical in brainstorming. Sync.
Yeah, there are. There are plenty of bad ideas in brainstorming.
No, but I would either say the TV or maybe the phones.
I can't really tell what kind of phones. I mean, they're pretty basic. I'm looking at them from here. There seems to be, what's that slot at the bottom of them? It looks like it would be where a credit, looks like it dispenses money. I mean, really? I mean, what is it?
I think those are card slots.
Yeah, I think that's where the phone cards go
in. Yeah, phone cards.
That is a big card. Is the card 5 inches long?
Not the ones I used, but.
I wonder what that is. We're going to have to do some, we have to actually do some research on this thing. We'll do it over on the Facebook group.
Yeah.
We'll try and figure out what's going on with this phone and what's underneath it. Ooh, could that be a, you know what? It's a cigarette holder.
Is it?
I guarantee you it's a little cigarette tray that you pull out. Oh, I
wouldn't be surprised.
I really wouldn't. Because it's not where coins go.
Floppy disks.
Please insert your knock list here.
We will transmit the data to your desired location.
Do you have a knock list that a Frenchman threw in a garbage can?
Repair it here.
Disk error. Disk error. By the way, they're definitely going to get some disk error when they get to on that train.
Yeah. Format, question mark?
Format, question mark. Oh, I downloaded it without formatting it. We actually talked about that last week when they did format it. So Luther pre-formatted these disks.
Good.
Ooh, thank goodness.
Good thing he thought to give him two.
Yeah. That's a good place to end for Tech of the App. we will end this episode here and come back for minute eight. Ha! We're going back all the way to minute eight. We're going to come back to minute 80 tomorrow. This will be Thomas's last day tomorrow, and we are sorry to see him go. Thomas, this has been great so far. Can you come back for one more day?
I think I can, and I think it's finally time for the rug burn or the rope burns to heal.
Yes, it is. I'm going to give you a nice salve tonight that's going to keep it all nice and lubricated.
Lubrication is what I'm all about.
All right, great. Lubrication. Liquid management is one of the most important things in this Minute Impossible. If you'd like to contact us or Thomas, you can meet us over on the Facebook group, The Impossible Minute Force. You can also talk to us on Twitter at Min Impossible, M-I-N Impossible. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I've been Thomas, and this episode will self-destruct in just a few moments.
Thomas, we didn't say you could say that line.
I didn't.
Edit. You're not following the rules, Tommy.